Okay, Rabosai. If I recall correctly, we were with Simon Kuf Gimel. We were in Simon Kuf Gimel. We were up to Sif Hei. We had begun to discuss Sif Hei. So, excuse me. Kol Kedei Rishu Ein Abas Yoma. Chashiv Tam Lefgam Ve'Eina Oseris. Right. Remember, we saw this. The most common application of Tam Lefgam in contemporary halacha is the Kedei after 24 hours is. We assume all the taste inside the Kedei becomes spoiled or stale or something, and therefore it only gives a bad taste to the food, and therefore whatever you cook in this pot is mutter. Nikris Bas Yoma Kol Zman Shlosa Shasa Me'Esla Es Achshon Es Bashal Boha Iser. And we saw Machlokes Rishonim, that's where we left off the discussion of whether the shear is overnight or whether the shear is 24 hours. And we paskin like Rov Rishonim against Rashi and Rina Tam, there's 24 hours, and that's what the Machaber says. It's called Bas Yoma for 24 hours after cooking the Isser. Chemin Shabbat Lame Isla 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 Isla. Okay, I think that's what we left off. Vim Bishmok Shein Abas Yoma Tav Shul Mutter. If, when it's Ein Abas Yoma, you cook in the pot, then the food is Mutter. Dami Nosin Tam Lif Gam. It's called Nosin Tam Lif Gam. Now here there's a big machlokas. It's really based on a machlokas, how to interpret the Gemara in the second last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah. The machlokas is, what about a dirty kli? What about the schmutz on the kli? So let's just take two poles for now. Here we have the blia. Not a particularly strong marker. Blia bitoch kli. So, after 24 hours, the blia bitoch kli is nosin tam lefgam. That's mefurish in the Gemara, that it's called nosin tam lefgam after 24 hours. What about a stam ben?
It's like food?
Yeah. Iser ben mamish. We assume is not necessarily nosin tam lefgam. Obviously, it depends what kind of food it is, how hot it was, etc. But lots of foods, lots of tray foods, we can leave lying around for 24 hours, or for days, or for weeks, and they're perfectly good. It all depends. Something's more perishable, something's less so. Obviously, if you have tray milk, you leave it out in the hot sun for 24 hours, it's going to be pugum legam, right? But there's no assumption. All else being equal, we assume it's nosin tam lefgam after 24 hours. Here we have something a little bit in the middle. What about tichas iser sha'al pnei ha'kli? Pnei meaning the surface. What about the schmutz on a kli? On the one hand, it's not a blia, it's a be'en. It's a real piece. But on the other hand, it's a very small piece that's smeared on the kli, and maybe that doesn't really have lasting power. So this is the machlokas between the Rambam and many other Rishonims. Said the Rambam, it's nosin tam lefgam. He actually seems to be pashut shot in the Gemara. Because the Gemara, even though it's be'en, since it's just a little shmir, it's nosin tam lefgam. The Gemara, as I pointed out, in the penultimate daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, Ayin Hei Amud Beis, says that there's a machlokes in two brisas. What if you use a kli without tovling it and doing hagala and libun? So one brisa says asur, and the other brisa says mutter, because nosin tam lefgam is mutter. So it sounds here like, if you don't tovel the kli, then it's mutter, because nosin tam lefgam. So what does that have to do with tovling? So there are three shots from the Gemara. Says the Rambam, tovling means rinsing. It doesn't mean ritual immersion. Means if you don't rinse the kli, then it has shemots. And then if you hold nosin tam lefgam is aser, it's aser. If we hold nosin tam lefgam is mutter, it's mutter. So in that line of the Gemara, that you didn't kasher, you didn't do agala, liban, or you didn't tovo. It becomes a case of nosin tam lefgam. The Rambam says it means you didn't rinse it. There's shmutz, and shmutz becomes nosin tam lefgam. The other Rishonim already, Tosus here says otherwise. And Tosus says that has two other deos, that that maybe you have to figure out what he means. Maybe it's lav davka. Maybe it means actual tovaling. Okay, the Rav also. We're not getting to the other pshatim. Lamaisa, the Rashba is quoted. Hold on. The Rashba is quoted in the Beis Yosef, and the other Rishonim, most Rishonim assume that it is not necessarily nosing tam lefgam, meaning the Rambam treats the schmutz as a blia, like a blia, that it gets pugged after 24 hours. Well, most Rishonim treat the schmutz as a piece of ban. It's just a small ban, and it doesn't get pugged after 24 hours. How do we paskin? Says the Shulchan Aruch. When is there a heter of nosin tam lefgam? If it's rinsed and there's no schmutz on its surface. If it's not rinsed, then it's aser. If there's schmutz on the surface, then even after 24 hours, that's aser. Again, unless you check and you see that it's spoiled. But when that's stam, you have to assume it's aser, because schmutz is like a piece. That's what he says. Like most Rishonim. After 24 hours, even if you cook without rinsing, because the schmutz also gets pogum after 24 hours, that's the opinion of the Rambam. How do we paskin? All the achronim here, the shach, the taz, and everyone says that we paskin like the most Rishonim against the Rambam. That would seem to be shot in the Mechaber also, because he has a stam and a yesh matirin. The rule of the Mechaber is generally assumed if he says one opinion stam and one is a yesh omrim, then he passes like the stam. So we paskin for sure like the other Rishonim, and not like the Rambam. However, halacha lemaisa, even though schmutz after 24 hours is still the shvach, and will still asur your, asur your kelim, the Rama adds the im yeshishin l'gmashu davar galav l'kuliyam asher miachad deshek dekdeira ena bas yomu hachi nahug. However, if yeshishin can neged the schmutz, then it's okay, because you don't have shishim can neged the bligos, but the bligos are not of God. The schmutz is not lefgam, but you have shishim getting the schmutz. So shishim gets rid of the schmutz, tam lefgam gets rid of the blios, and you are okay. Even though there's a funny marshal who disagrees with this, we pass like this bevadai. The shach reminds us of something we've said already, which is that minastam, we assume if you're cooking a kli, it is clean, because usually people wash their kelim before they cook in it, and even if it's a little dirty, minastam, there is shishim Keneged the, he doesn't mention this here, but he says, Menastam, the Kalim are clean, and also, even if it's a little dirty, Menastam, unless you know it's very dirty, there's Shishim Keneged the dirt, because we usually cook in relatively clean Kalim, so therefore it is not such a problem. But, Lu Yitzuyar, you had a very dirty Kli that wasn't used for 24 hours, and you cooked in it, it would be a problem, because the Shmutz, more than a 60th, and is no Sintam L'Shvach. Okay. I mentioned that I wanted to look a little at.
Yes. According to the Shach on the Shofar, it says who should be mudacha to bli yeshuvan al tamei. It needs to be mudacha if you know it's dirty, but.
Right, that means it needs to be correct. That's why the Shach is saying a bit of a chiddush here. It needs to be mudachas, and min hastam it is mudachas. Like a stam case. So I admit, you could say that that's not what the Mechaber is Mudoyak, but we pass like the Shach that stam case is Mudachas. Alright? So I want to take a little tangent here. There's a whole simon later on in the Shulchan Aruch simon, Kuf Kuf Beis, about a kli that's Eino Ben Yomo, basically. And I said I wanted to look at some of it. Basically, it's just elaborating on the points we saw here, but it adds an important thing that we had on the board earlier, but is not mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch in our Zimin, because it really belongs to Shulchan Aruch Zimin Kuf Chaf Beis, which is the halachos of a kli she'eino ben yomo. So, the Shulchan Aruch says there in Sif Vav, stam kli of the yilulim heim b'cheska she'eino ben yomon, a stam kli of a goy we assume is not ben yomo. Why? If you remember, we saw it because the Gemara said, don't worry about the Dvash of Goyim and the Shemen of Goyim and the this of Goyim and the that of Goyim, because the Stam clip. Sorry, because it knows the Tam of Gam. What makes it Nosan Tam of Gam? Remember, we saw two opinions, but the majority opinion was, because the Stam Kli of a Goy is not Ben Yomo. Lefikach, Avram, Nishtam, Shem, Kod, Mehesher, Tav, Shalom, Motor. Therefore, if, B'dyevet, you used a Treif Kli, a Stam Treif Kli, without kashering it, then the food is Motor. Adds the Ramah, Avalam, Chime, Mayim, Bechlish, Lov, Chom, Lolish, Ben, Pas. However, if you merely heated water to then use to make bread, also Lolish, Rosh, Mayim, then you can't use that water. So why? Because b'dyevet it's mutter. That's if you already have a food product. But if you just heated water to use for making bread, that's not a food product yet. And there, that's called lo hischal hanaso. It's not the thing you use yet. It's not the thing you enjoy yet. Therefore, this is still called l'chatchila, and l'chatchila knows in tam l'fgam is aser. Rafi worked very hard here. Thank you. Okay, the Rafi, we're just looking at the first makor in the sheet. Again, I'll start again. Stam kli overcoming the cheskos shein b'nei yomah lefikach over stam shem kodem hechshar atav shel mutter. Adther ma avol chim and mayim kli shel overcoming. Also lost ben pas. Also lost rosh mayim. If you just heat up water to use to make to knead bread, but you haven't started making the bread yet, the darbaz and mikulach achila, because that's not called a b'diavad case. But the b'diavad is you already have the food. Here it's pre-food. Why? You still don't have, you haven't started having a thing that you're nene from. You didn't heat them up to drink. And therefore, since you do not yet have a food product, just a preparation, you're not allowed to use that water, because it's still called lechachila, and lechachila were machmir on einu ben yomo. But if you cook something for itself, not to use for something else, even if the guys and you're buying it, lechachila motor. Then it's mutter to buy it, l'chachila, because once already made it's called b'dievet. What the Ramah is pointing out here is that sometimes it gets very tricky when we say, we're machmir l'chachila, make it b'dievet. It gets very tricky to know what cases are called b'dievet, what cases are called l'chachila. Clearly a case where you haven't done anything yet is called l'chachila, and you should be machmir, just don't do it. Clearly a case where you're going to lose a lot of money and you have a big investment and you're going to be in trouble, that's called b'dievet, and then you can be make it b'dievet. But there's a lot of in between cases that are not clear if they're called b'dievet l'chachila. We'll actually come back to some of these cases. excuse me. But one of them is the two cases that Ramah discusses here, and we discussed this once, are number one, you heat up water, which is not itself a food, just going to be used for food. And number two, the guy already cooked it and is selling it in the store. Right? So, says the Ramah, neither of these are pashut, but we pass them this way, that chimeim mayim lolosh bahen pat, right? Velo lush adayin, right? That's called lechatchila, because you haven't yet produced the food, and aser. That's called the chachilin's asr. Why? Because you don't yet have a food. You have a something you're going to use for food. Therefore, the chachilin don't need dough. And they get new water to use. The second case is...
Wouldn't it practically just make sense to assess how much money you're losing? How much...
You might think so, but that's not true, because when we say the zimzim, the chachilin, the yeva, those are formal categories, and it's not just a matter of money. Remember, we saw there was another opinion that even if you're planning to drink the water, it's very cheap, you should be machmer. But in a kli of a goy, we were not machmer that way. So, what about bishel goy? Bishel goy kidei limkor. Can the Jew buy it? If the Jew already bought it, that's clearly b'dievet. Can you buy something in a store, right? The guy is selling it in the store. You want to know, on the one hand, it's already cooked. On the other hand, you haven't bought it yet. So, And the Ramah, Paskin the Ramah, this is called Bidyevin. We'll see, this is a little complex, but we Paskin this way. And therefore it is Mutter. What is the Tzad HaShaveh? What is the common denominator of these two Pesachim in the Ramah? That the line between Lechachil and Bidyevin is not how much, it's not whether you've done anything yet or not. Because in both cases something's been done. One is called Lechachil and one is called Bidyevin. And it's not whether you're going to lose money. Because in the second case, you're not going to lose money. And in the first case, you're also not going to lose so much money. It's just water. The dividing line is whether the food has been produced or not. Once the food is produced, that's called Bidyevin. You can even go out and buy it. Stop. Once, however, in this case, since the food has not yet been produced, that's called the Chachila, and we are Machmir.
Wasn't that only
about
the Shabbat? The Tzad? It's already done. And
then
Pesach
Teshuvah
had said this distinction.
Pesach Teshuvah had said there's another shot that it's because water is very cheap.
That was Taz, right?
But he said that in a Kli of a Guy, then, yeah, if I actually have it open, I think that was in Rabbi Kiva Eger here. Yeah, that was, we at that time quoted the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, which is not on this sheet, but it is on the Shulchan Aruch here, who said in a Kli of a Jew or more Machra that anything you don't lose money is called a Chachila or Machra. But they cleave a guy were
makel. So the reason why it's also here is not because of that?
No, not because of that. It's because it's not yet a food product. It's not yet something you eat. Shh. Is this from Sherry's office? Great. For baseball, my statistics are good. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. Afal Pikein. Someone actually asked me about this recently. They said, what did someone ask me about? What if you have, like, they make popcorn in the movie theater, right? And you see the corn is kosher, and the butter, the oil, whatever is kosher, you see it's like a kosher container, right? You see everything's kosher. And it's mistabra, this brand generally is kosher things, you know, but you don't know what they use it for beforehand. So are you allowed to buy popcorn in that movie theater or not? You know, I don't know, maybe they used lard last time. A little unlikely, but you never know. So I said I thought it was mutter to buy the popcorn. Why? Because this is a stam kli. Like, do you know if they used another oil beforehand? If they didn't use another oil beforehand, it's a stam kli. And it's a stam kli, and the stam kli we say is eino ben yomo, and therefore, and the guy already made the popcorn, right? He makes popcorn all the time.
I just think one of the spekos for why we allow it is because maybe the food they used yesterday or we used today will be poging what they're serving now, but it's something which they normally make with popcorn. Why do you assume it's poging their popcorn? Why do you want to poging their popcorn?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, let's come back. Let's think about that for a second. Okay, says Ari like this, why is the stam kli not ben yomo? That's a big mystery. Why is the stam kli not ben yomo? After all, how do I know? A guy's stam, I go to a guy's house, and the guy says, here, I cooked you a hard-boiled egg in my pot. Okay, the eggs are kosher. The water's kosher. I don't know. I think that's all you put in hard-boiled eggs. You don't put oil in hard-boiled eggs. But the pot's not kosher, so you can eat the hard-boiled egg. Stam kli zeinu ben yomo, so stam v'gam. Why can you eat the hard-boiled egg? Why can you eat the hard-boiled egg? After all, maybe he cooked ham in this pot in the last 24 hours. Maybe he didn't. Like, why do we assume stam l'kula? You know, we don't usually assume stam l'kula. So, Ari points out that if you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes Mordechai and others that the reason is really because of a sveik sveika. Why do we say stam kli eino ben yomo? Because of a sveik sveika. What's the sveik sveika? Maybe it was used in the last 24 hours, maybe not. And even if it was used, maybe, even if it was used for trade in the last 24 hours, right? Sorry, maybe was used for treif in the last 24 hours. Maybe it wasn't. Right, I mean, maybe it got treif in the last 24 hours, maybe it didn't. Even if it did get treif in the last 24 hours.
Why did that also not another, like another sound of something? That like maybe it was used.
Okay, this gets into something that I was really afraid. I couldn't concentrate properly on Mincha today because I knew we were going to get to Siv Zayin, where it started to get into questions of what two Sveikas counts as a Sveik and what didn't. And I was afraid of the task of trying to explain that all, much less piecemeal. But the problem is the whole Kolik Sveik Sveik and Simon Kofiot, which are that sometimes two Sveikas counts as a Safik, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's intuitive that not every two Sveikas counts because, you know, otherwise, because they're it gets silly. You know, for example, if I want to ask, I don't know, is someone a, I can prove to you, Besveik Sveika, right, that, I mean, this is a tricky one. Yeah, no, this is a good one. Besveik Sveika, that no one's a guy. Because maybe they're a Kohen, maybe they're not. And even if they're not a Kohen, maybe they're Jewish, maybe they're a guy. Right? So that's obviously not a valid fake fake. It's intuitive to us that I'm playing games here. It's like when you try to do statistics and you make things false. You know, that's the problem with fake fake. Fake fake is like statistics. You can make it say anything if you're clever enough, but that doesn't make it valid. So it has to be an authentic fake fake. Like the two fakes actually have to make a difference and actually have to be real categories. I'm not fully defining it now. But, for example, says Chesky, maybe he cooked in the last 24 hours, maybe he didn't. And even if he cooked, maybe it was treif, maybe it was kosher. The answer is, if he cooked kosher in 24 hours, that's of no halachic significance. That's irrelevant if he cooked kosher in 24 hours. So therefore, that's not a real suffix. You don't care whether or not he cooked kosher. You only care whether or not he cooked treif. That's the only thing that has halachic significance. There's no halachic significance to doing kosher. Therefore, that's not a valid sveik. That's basically the answer. You know, you could... Well, attach more code words to it. So even if it was used in the past 24 hours, but that doesn't automatically mean that the food you cook now is treif. Maybe the treif blios gave a tam lishvach to the specific dish you cook now. And maybe they didn't. Why did they not give tam l'shvach? Either they're too bland or weak to give the tam, or their tam is not l'shvach, is lefgam. Right, those two are considered the same category, they're not two different things. Right, or they didn't. Like maybe they were potent enough to enhance the flavor of this food, or maybe they weren't. Because even if she, again, let's go back to my hard-boiled eggs. The guy cooked hard-boiled eggs for me. So, maybe the guy cooked treif in this pot in the last 24 hours, maybe not. Even if the guy cooked, you know, ham in this pot 3 hours ago, maybe the blios of ham in this pot will give a good taste to my egg. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they won't affect the egg at all. Or maybe they won't make the egg taste good. I don't know. I have no idea. I do not eat green eggs and ham. So I don't know whether they taste good or not. I'm still in the sub between the hobby and the maskana, and that's safer. so, we don't know. So therefore, that's a sveik sveika. Meaning, maybe the pot was treif in the last 24 hours, maybe it wasn't, even if it was treif, who says that treif will enhance the flavor of this food? I know, each treif affects the flavor of one food one way, and another food another way, and another food not at all. That's a sveik sveika. Ari's saying here, to be machmir in the popcorn stands. Maybe they used treif oil in the past 24 hours, maybe they didn't. But if they did use treif in the past 24 hours, that's definitely something that gives a tam l'shvach to popcorn, because the only treif they would ever have used is a kind of treif that has a significant good effect on popcorn. That's what Ari's timing.
I was going to say a different chumrah, because Stam Kalim and Enum only works for Stam Kalim. And a popcorn machine is Becheska's use every single day.
No, but it's not Becheska's treif use. If you see right now they're using kosher oil, then it's not Becheska's
right
that they've used treif oil. Maybe it was a year ago.
But that's if that's Sif Zion. That is, if you keep using it between Nam Ace La Ace, even for kosher, every time it's you're retrafing it.
And they have movies at night.
Right. They're going almost, maybe they take a few hour break overnight, but they're doing it every day.
No,
they don't take a day off.
They
open on December 25th. They're open on January 1st. So they're open all the time.
But you don't know that they ever use trade.
Okay, but maybe that's a suffix. Okay. So the popcorn machines are not looking so good now. Tzarchia. Okay. Tzarchia on the popcorn machines. I'll have to work harder if I want to be mounted to the popcorn.
Wait, you're saying that they reset the clock every time you use even part?
That's Sif Zion. Sif Zion's in the Mefurosh.
The night, don't we say Lina's Lila?
Yeah, but they play movies late at night.
There's no night. They're not showing movies.
You can go to the movies at night.
We need the entire night, right?
You need the entire night.
Okay.
Clearly, they play movies half the night. Right. They keep showing movies until the Brisker Rubs Hanukkah candles go out. They're Makrit to show movies until the Brisker Rubs Hanukkah candles go out. That's a big tzarachion on the popcorn machines. Okay. That's it. We're macro on the popcorn machines. But when I go to my friend's house, I can still eat the hard-boiled eggs. Okay, continuing. Says the Mechaber, this is the important part. Af al pikein, says the Mechaber on the Zirak sheet, Osher long lo v'kachovim bashal li yirakos b'kdei rosecha. It's still Osher to tell a guy to cook in his pots. V'chein lo yomer lo Osher li asal li mirkachas, or to make a concoction. Shekol omer bashal li yarei yikili b'shavi yaldav. If you tell a guy to cook for you, it's as if you cooked. Meaning, you're not allowed to do notes down the gam chachila. It's only hanter b'dievet. So the guy already cooked it. You can eat it, or you can even buy it because that's b'dievet. But you can't tell him to cook it. That's clummy. You can't go to a restaurant and order something counting on lav ben yomon, even if you know it's not ben yomon. Because let's say I absolutely know it's not ben yomon. I get to the restaurant; they've been closed for the weekend for the last 36 hours. I'm the first customer. I still can't tell them to cook. Because telling him to cook is cooking l'chachila. Because the rule is, whenever I tell a goy to do something, it's as if I'm doing it. However, it could be these people make concoctions of expensive spices, mutter, because all professionals who make very fancy things have special kelim for their work, and the spices don't include any treif. In order not to ruin the taste of their, or to ruin their professional reputation. Therefore, he says, even though you could say when they make specialized products that are fancy, they would obviously not use treif kalim, because they only want to use special, brand new kalim that are only for the fancy products. And fancy products in those days did not include any treif ingredients, just spices. Still, the Baal Nefesh should be machmir, because it's kedusha, it's hara nikios, to stay away from any chash of treif, like just in case, like we think that the people who make fancy spices would not use the same kalim for their ham. Well, we can't be 100% sure, and therefore it's proper to be macher. Sif zayin kishim stam kelim shalom v'chom meim ben yom akach stam kelim shalom v'cheskelim ben yom. Just like stam kli v'goy is ben yom, stam kli v'jew is also ben yom. Just doesn't come up so much because there usually isn't a case of a stam kli v'jew. Because just ask the Jew what he cooked in it and when. But if you would have a case where you can't ask the Jew, you know, the Jewish owner of the kli went away or he forgot or, you know, whatever the case may be, then a stam kli v'jew is also not ben yomo. And that's how we pass in the stam kli is not ben yomo, which is why, in general, if something is cooked in a treif pot, whether it's a Jewish treif pot or a Goyish treif pot, if you find out whether it's ben yomo or not, great. If it's a Jewish pot, ask the owner. If it's a Goyish pot, you don't have to ask the owner. Although, we're machmir. If the owner tells you and you're sure he's telling the truth, and he tells you it's ben yomo, you should be machmir. You know, like if you know this guy is for sure telling the truth, then you should be machmir. But in a stam case, where you don't know the guy, or the guy doesn't say anything, or the Jew's not around to ask, or the Jew forgot or doesn't know, then even if you cook in a treif kli, or you cook milk in a meat kli, or meat in a milk kli, you can assume it's einu ben yomo. And you can assume it's einu ben yomo and mutter. However, you can't do it l'chachila. So, two interesting questions come up here in the Pisli Tshuva. I want to start in the Pisli Tshuva. Start with the first Pisli Tshuva. It quotes, Ayin minchas yad. What does that mean? If a kli gets trafed up, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, why can't I use a kli she'ena ben yomo? The Gemara says, why can't I use a kli she'ena ben yomo? L'chadchila. After all, it's no sitam lefgam. Right? Why can't I cook in a kli she'eno ben yomo lechatchila? That would make things very convenient. When everything's straight, just wait 24 hours, it's okay. The Gemara says that. That's the first line of the last daf of Avodah Zarah. Ayin vav min aleph, what does the Gemara say?
Gzeira.
Exactly, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Ayin vav min aleph, gzeira eino ben yomo atu ben yomo. Yes. And therefore, I can't even ask you to cook for you. So it's a big machlokas. What if the guy volunteers and tells you that it's been yom? What if the guy taka says, not that he cooked in it today, that's irrelevant, because maybe he cooked hard-boiled eggs. The guy says, oh, I cooked ham in this pot earlier today, you know, or last night, or whatever. What if the guy tells you that? It's a big machlokas, achron, some kufbeis, it's not on the sheet, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch. And we paskin that, if you know the guy's telling the truth, you should be machmir to asr the food. Like, if you feel the guy's telling the truth, then you should be machmir. But if you don't know, then you don't have to be machmir. Because the guy really has no nemonis. But if subjectively, remember we had a similar emotion like this, the kula, the chomer, it's easier to say, if subjectively you really believe the guy, then you should be machmir. But if you don't know how trustworthy this guy is, then even if he says I cooked ham an hour ago, you don't have to be machmir, because the guy is not kosher leidos in terms of isur. Okay, so halach lemaisa, you don't have to ask the guy if he used in the last 24 hours. If he says he used it, you don't have to believe him. He has no nemanus. However, if subjectively you really believe him in your heart, then you should be machmir, not to be mikel based on what he says, but you should be machmir based on what he says. Therefore, if he says he cooked ham an hour ago, then you can't eat the hard-boiled eggs. If you really know in your heart he's telling the truth. But if it's just a stam bum guy off the street that you have no idea when he's telling the truth, when he's lying, then even if he says it goes 10 hours ago, you can still eat the hard-boiled eggs, because he has no nemanus. Only if you have an umdun in your heart that you really believe him. I don't know, let's say it's someone you really know when and why, etc. You know to be an honest person, and you know you feel that they're telling the truth, then you should be macher. Okay, says the first Pesach Yitshuva here is a tremendous kula. Ayin mechaz Yaakov klal v'heisim katan zav dalet heidit shuvus nachos Yaakov hashem chachmi v'netzia, the Venetian chachamim, right, had a big kula. Dzeh dav kumpli matchos keiva d'istakon v'agolo mashen gen kli cherser shvira habakid d'yevet umatir nakein l'akashiyam eis le'eis. The chachmi v'netzia hold that a kli cheres that gets treif is mutter after 24 hours. Why? Because it's b'di'evet. After all, you'd have to break it. So this is a fundamental machlokas. What about a treif kli cheres? This is ma'isim chol yom, right? Someone has dishes in their house, and they accidentally treif up the dishes. Our dishes are we're machmir to treat our dishes as kli cheres, because they're actually made of pottery inside. So we'll see in the Mishnah Brura why we're machmir to treat our dishes as kli cheres. The Mishnah Brura Tafton Aleph. But we treat our dishes as kli cheres. So what if, or sinks, right? Those of us who have not yet gotten the new kitchen, your sinks are porcelain, which we treat as kli cheres, right? So what if your sink gets trafed off? As a matter of fact, it did. in the 40 years since they installed it. So, after 24 hours, now it's no sentam lefgam. Okay, so they still goes there and have to use lechachila, but b'dievet it's mutter. So, just say, well, it's already b'dieved because I would have to, I can't use my sink, I would have to throw out the kli. So that's the famous kula, the chachmei, however you spell it, v'netzia, says, mutter to use the kli after 24 hours because it's b'dieved. After all, you'd have to throw out your kli. Isn't that a b'dieved? And do we pass like chachmei v'netzia? The answer is a resounding
no.
It doesn't sound that way in Shas, right? It's a famous case of Pinchas Rabbi Ami. He accidentally salted meat on an unholy, as it were, cheres tray and then he's broken and threw it in the garbage. Why not just wait 24 hours? So they say the herik haskel becomes suyis b'shas v'aposkim. Come welcome. Master Shem said, "Go left." The hefsu beruvi yish lahat licheres ayin sham. Nonetheless, the Ben Chas Yaakov quotes that hefsu beruvi. There's room to rely on these chachmim v'nesher. When he has daiti kash latar filu hefsu beruvi. Nope. Even hefsu beruvi can be makel da kasma gos ashri. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But we paskin even to have some rub, or not so much chachmim v'nesher. Right. We paskin, rov poskim, say aser afilu bimakom hefsin meruba. But why aren't the chachmei v'netzer right? Right? Why? Shouldn't we be mekel b'dieved like the chachmei v'netzer? So why are the Chachmim v'Netzer wrong? It's pretty posh that they're wrong. Why? Because in all of Shas, when a Klicheris gets treif, we break it. Yeah, and, I mean, you can't make a right from Chumash that the Klicheris, the Chattas, you break, because maybe that's a special ritual in Kachin. But in all of Shas, you break a Klicheris that gets treif. In all of Rishon, you break a Klicheris that gets treif. Clearly they're wrong, but why? Isn't there a Kula
b'dieved? Back to what we started with. But you responded to me. It's not about...
Exactly. So there are two ways to explain why he's wrong. That's not what the Pesach Teshuvah here quotes. But I think you're absolutely right.
Because you can see in the days of Shas, whatever, that Cheres was like a cheap clay.
Because Cheres was cheap? Yeah, but it still was... Was it cheaper than food? I mean, it was cheaper than expensive things. Was it cheaper than potatoes? And they didn't have potatoes at the time of Shas, right? Was it cheaper than bread? I don't know if Cheres is cheaper than a loaf of bread. It's cheap, like by our standards. I don't know if it's not like water, right? So I think there are two answers. One is al pi drama, that b'dieved l'chachila doesn't mean lose money, not lose money. B'dieved means once there's food, and l'chachila means that there's not food, right? Now that's already taking b'dieved l'chachila and moving it to a formal category from a more commonsensical category, but maybe. This is called lichatchila, even though you lose money, because, as the Rama said, right, you don't yet have the food, because the food is not yet cooked. If the food is not yet cooked, that is called lechatchila. Lechatchila b'dieved doesn't mean would you lose money, would you not lose money. Lechatchila means you haven't yet cooked. B'dieved means you already cooked. It's also lechatchila if you haven't yet cooked. It's mutter b'dieved if you have cooked. Once it's cooked, it's mutter b'dieved even if you're not going to lose money. You go to the store, you can buy it. Right? They're selling in the store, you can buy it. Even though you won't lose money by not buying it. Right? And before it's cooked, even though you will lose money, that's called lechatchila. I know the difference between these is almost semantic, but the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Hagohos Ashri, right? That's on the side of the stars in the not really the side, but lighting in to the Rush. We'll call it on the side of the Rush. Who gives a different svara? He says Anachanami a klicheres is called b'dieved. Enchanami klicheres is called b'dieved and should be mutter. Says, but that's exactly the shaklavatari of this Gemara. The Gemara says, why aren't we mekel on a klisha inu ben yomo? And the Gemara answers, gzeira inu ben yomo atu ben yomo, or inu bas yomo atu bas yomo. What's the nature of the gzeira? So he says, this gzeira, the Gemara is not a gzeira l'chachila not b'dieved. That's not pshat. Everyone knows. You can't cook in an Eina Ben Yomo Treif Kli. But once you cook, you can eat the food. We thought it was because the Chachil is also B'dieved, it's mutter. What does the Gos Ashri say? He quotes right here. Sobezech is a Vosh Chom HaHadar M'gzir Sheni B'yom Ad Ben Yomo Zeh L'shona Vol Ein Lamar Talam Fishu L'Chachil Avin Otsa Talam Gam L'Chachil Osar Da Kevin Shetun Shvir Habik B'dieved. He says, no, of course it's B'dieved if it's Kli Cheres. Yet it's still what goes there. Harim Behed, you know, Filu B'Kler Surach Shvirash, Surach Shvirash, Shav Matzati, etc. He doesn't bring down the whole Lagos Ashri, but if you look inside of the Lagos Ashri, he says very clear. He says, the gzeira has nothing to do with lachachilan b'dievet, this gzeira. He says, not a gzeira lechatchila umutter b'dievet. That's not pshat in that Gemara, says the Gosa Shri. And really, it's already Tosos on the daf implies this. He says, there were gozer on the kli ben yomo, because you would confuse, ain't a ben yomo, because you confuse with the kli ben yomo. The kli, you would confuse. A kli with a kli, there were gozer on the kli. Why? Because the same pot, today is ben yomo, and tomorrow is ain't a ben yomo, so there were gozer on this pot. But if I cook oatmeal in the pot, hard-boiled eggs in the pot today, and I cook hard-boiled eggs in the pot tomorrow, those are two different eggs. They weren't gozer on tomorrow's eggs, up to today's eggs. They were gozer on tomorrow's kli, up to today's kli, because it's the same kli. So it's very posh. He says, gozru ligamre al hakli, velo gozru al hamachal. This is really two different ways of learning this Gemara. Gzeira in ben yomo at ben yomo, right? Why were they gozer not to cook in kli, but permitted the food cooked in the kli? You shouldn't cook in the kli, but if you do, the food is mutter. One way is because they were gozer l'chatchila and they were mikol b'dievet. In which case, the Chacham and Netzi have a good point, and maybe we can get out of them based on the Ramah. But the Agos Ashri's way, which really in Tosos, is that it's not l'chatchila b'dievet. It's that they're gozer chalos gzeira on the kli, and they were not gozer gzeira on the food. Chalal can be gozer on any chefza they want. And therefore, the kli is aser bein l'chatchila bein b'dievet. And the food is mutter bein l'chatchila bein b'dievet. Halacha l'maisa would seem that we paskin, perhaps even the chumras of both of these. But the Meiser, for one of these two reasons, this is basically Chakira. These two reasons are the Chakira, right? If here's the...
What are the Nafkaminos that
were... Okay, give me a second. Hold on. The Chakira, is it that Aleph, Gozru Lechatchila Velo B'dieved, or Beis, Gozru Al Hakli Velo Al Hamachal? If it's they made exer on the kli, not the machal, Pashuay Chacham and Netzi are wrong. Because they were gozer on the kli, not the lechachil b'dieved. If they were gozer on the achil and not b'dieved, then after Chacham and Netzi are right. If it's a china dish that's b'dieved, you should remake it after 24 hours. Or after Al Pi the Ramah, we can call that lechachila. Because you haven't cooked yet. Lechachila, don't cook in this kli. After all, you don't have to throw it out. Just don't cook in it. No, use it for something else. We're not asking the kli, just telling you not to cook in it. So, okay, clearly, if you would take the approach of l'chachil b'dieved, the chachmim and netzi make a lot of sense, but you could deflect them based on the Ramah. If you take the approach of kli versus machal, then the Pesach Tshuva, as it points out, makes perfect sense. It could be that Pshat Legos Ashri is he actually held both of them. There's an Israel l'chachila, which is not what the Gemara means, but that's obvious. And besides that, there's an isser on the kli. What would be the chumras of both them? Well, if you look at this case, pashtos. In this case, the hagos ashri should be makel. Once you heated up water for making your bread, it's not a kli. The hagos ashri should be makel. So it seems to be the pashtus that, you know, we're either machmir like both, or we hold like this way. What do you do if you're klicheris, if you have a trade klicheris makom hefsin meruba? So he quotes here from the Nachlas Yaakov that makom hefsin meruba if we saw mech on the chachmir Venezia. but and I think that's also in the Minchas Yaakov. But Hefsim Ruby, you can be Somech HaChachmei Venetia. We don't hold that way. We hold the Hefsim Ruby, you cannot be Somech HaChachmei Venetia. So what do you do with Makom Hefsim Ruba? What do you do if you have Kli Cheres that's Treif and it's Hefsim Ruba? Sometimes it's not Hefsim Ruba. But what do you do if it is Hefsim Ruba?
Who does it come to?
So that gets on to the big Shiloh of the Chacham Tzvi. If we just look for a moment in the, if you have a Prima Godim, back where we are, the Prima Gudin, after Sifsei Das Yud Zayin, says, I'll write the Kitzer, some of the Dinim, those in Tam Lefgam, Bikdeira. And he quotes the famous Kula of the Chacham Tzvi. The famous Kula of the Chacham Tzvi, which is very controversial, is that after 12 months, Blios disappear. Not Lefgam, disappear. Right? Anyone remember what else we learned disappears after 12 months? Bugs, right? Remember bugs, they disappear after 12 months. They disintegrate. So he says, Blios also disintegrate after 12 months. So this is the famous Kula of the Chacham Tzvi. Blios disintegrate after 12 months. What's the Mokr of the Chacham Tzvi? It's not bugs, because who says bugs and Blios are the same thing? What's the Mokr of the Chacham Tzvi that Blios disappear after 12 months? Yayin Nesach. What of Yayin Nesach is mutter after 12 months? The Kelim of Yayin Nesach are mutter after 12 months. Why? Because the Blios disappear. What else? Not just the Kalim. What? What else of Yayin Nesach besides the Kalim is mutter after 12 months? Yeah. No, not the wine. The wine is not good after 12 months, right? Plus, it's more expensive after 12 months. The pulp, the hartzanim, the grape skin pulp, right? Remember, after you press it, there's pulp left. After 12 months, we assume there's no more wine left in that pulp, and you can use it. I mean, you wouldn't eat it. You would use it for fuel and et cetera. It's not good for eating. But we assume all the wine dried up. So Yayin Nesach dries up after 12 months, whether it's absorbed in the pulp or whether it's absorbed in the clay. So all Kalim dry up after 12 months, Shalom Yisrael, say therefore, passing the Chacham Tzvi, after 12 months, Mutter. Lemaisa, he wasn't so eager to be Mutter, and he restricted it a little, and he was nervous, and he was only making on Pesach, and only did the Eved. But fundamentally, he paskined that after 12 months, Blios are gone, and you have a clean slate. That's what the whole famous Ramosha is based on. So, however, a lot of Achronim argued on him right here in this Pesach, this Prima Gadim says, does it help to let it get 12 months old? So in the Chacham Tzvi, he's matter, at least in some circumstances. And the Panim Iros disagrees. And and the Panim Iros disagrees. And then he quoted from a Chuvas HaRashba here. What's the big problem? The big problem is this Chuvas HaRashba, who also seems to agree, says, B'yayin davka svara shakala lachluchis. The Shuk Rashba says that it's only a kula in yayin nesech that it dries up after 12 months. Why would that be? So the Achronim generally understand that. Now, what are the two cases where we find that Yud-Beis Chodesh helps? One, Klei Yayin Nesech. And two, Chartzane Yayin Nesech, right? The pulp. The Achronim generally assume, so the Chacham Tzvi says, who are then all Blios, right? So says the Chacham Tzvi, who had then, or he says, likewise, all Blios. However, say many Achronim, based on the Shut Rashba, doesn't say so much. He just says, Dafka Yenesech. He says, no, only these two cases are different. Kalim of Yayinesech are different because that's only a Bliya Bitsonin. If it's only a Bliya Bitsonin, then that dries up after 12 months. But if you have a bliya b'chamin, if you cook, that's not so good. And what about the chatzanin? That's not a bliya b'tzonin. That's naturally part of the grape. Says, no, that's different because it is soft. And they say, sholit be'avira. dries out in the air. Meaning, clearly chatzanin, you see a total change in them, right? If you leave grape pulp out for 12 months, it gets hard and the air makes it brittle and clearly it dries up. It says that's only true of chartzanim, which is something that's a food that gets dried up very easily. And that's only true of the kelim yayin nesef, which would cold in. But kelim you cooked in, but not kelim you cooked in. Kelim you cooked in have a deeper blia. Now, on the one hand, you would think the svar of the Chacham Tzvi seems more straightforward. The Gemara has cases where after 12 months it dries up. Why not just assume everything dries up after 12 months? Why make all these chibukim? However, on the other hand, the Shul Rashi was a rishon against the Chacham Tzvi, and a lot of Achronim against the Chacham Tzvi say, no, that's only a special pool over there by Yayin Nesef, and maybe because Yayin Nesef is Rabbanim, but the main reason seems to be because they're in the Chartzanim, because they're very soft and porous and open to the air, so it's easier for them to dry out. And by the Kalim, they only absorb in cold. But that wouldn't apply to a kli that absorbed in hot. Okay, there's a lot more details. If you look in the Prima Gadim, therefore says the Prima Gadim, Sof Gavra, Kol Nishma, B'kli Cheresh, Ahucham Bo, Afilo Yisra Abonon, Ein Lahakel B'Yishon. If you cooked in Kli Cheresh, even after 12 months, you can't be Mekel. And it's clear, he means even Behefsid Merupa. So, we do not rely on this Chacham Tzvi. What's the Chiddush of Rav Moshe in a few places, and Rav Avadya and others? Says Rav Moshe in a few places. If you want to look at the Rav Moshe, he has Yordeh Chelik Bei Simen Mem Vav, and Chelik Gimel Simen Chav Ches to Chav Ches. Sorry. So, Rav Moshe says, what if you have a Hefsid Merubah? What are his two cases? Either a Baal Tshuva who has expensive china. No, not all china is so expensive. Right? Sometimes, right, we got on sale at Fox Home. Is that what it's called here? Right? Recently, with some special coupon and birthday month and whatever, like servings for like 24 for under $100. Of like, you know, plates and fish plates and bowls, and I know that comes up to out to like free per plate. So not all diet, you get cheap china, you know. But some people have very fancy china. I mean, the sky's the limit with china, right? There's china that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. So what if you're a Baal Tshuva and you have this very fancy china, and now you feel bad, you're gonna have to throw it in the garbage. What are you gonna do with it? You know, or whatever, you could sell it on eBay, but you're not gonna get like what it's worth. Right, you're going to sell it at like a used dishes price, which is not going to be so high. So what do you do? Or the other case, which is very common in America. When I was a kid, I don't know how it works now, when you bought a new house in America, it came with appliances. I don't know if it still works that way. It doesn't work that way in Israel, that's for sure. But it came with appliances, and usually you bought the house with the dishwasher. You weren't going to get the house cheaper without the dishwasher, right? It just came. So you buy a house from a guy, and it comes with a dishwasher. The dishwasher were porcelain, we're not kosherable. So, what do you do? So, what do you do? You already spent all your money making down payments, and now you have to pay the mortgage on the house. You can't afford a dishwasher. But the guy already gave you a dishwasher. You're stuck with it. And dishwashers cost a lot of money. They still cost a lot of money. So, it's a lot of money. So, what do you do with this dishwasher? So, when I was a kid, everyone did based on remotion. I don't know what they do now. Could be, I don't know, nowadays.
Now we ask the landlord for a new dishwasher.
Yeah, well, okay, or whatever. You know, nowadays some people are rich, so they just put in a new kitchen anyway, or they just knock the whole house down. But not everyone's rich nowadays. Some people still, they can't afford a new dishwasher. So they just bought a new house. They have no money left. So what do? So when I was a kid, everyone did the same thing. You waited 12 months and then used the dishwasher. Why? That's based on Rav Moshe being Mitzarev Kulas. Rav Moshe says, if you have some room, by the way, this could also occur. This wasn't Moshe's case. I'm going to say another funny case I'm not getting into, which is, but the equivalent to the case of Baal Tshuva is someone inherits very expensive china. What if someone inherits very expensive china? Their parents were not from, and they had very expensive china, and it's treif, and they inherited, and it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars, but what are they supposed to do with it? So the Harad, that's, people also use Rav Moshe's hat to Rav Moshe says there's many tzadim l'hakel. What are the many tzadim l'hakel? So number one, the Chachmei, the Netzia. Number two, the Chacham Tzvi. You wait 12 months. You don't make a lunch for 12 months. According to the Chacham, that's your Kli Charis mutter after 24 hours. According to the Chacham Tzvi, it's mutter after 12 months. And then he threw in some other Tzadim L'Hakel, of course, which is who says the treif in the first place. After all, maybe these things are only klisheni. In America, a dishwasher is only klisheni because they don't cook the water in the dishwasher. You get it through the pipes. It's okay. It's not done exactly. I don't know how the old dishwashers worked. Ramosha had different dishwashers than we did. And the dishes maybe are only klisheni. I know. The Marshal says never gush, etc. Avi Pasha is klisheni. So, klisheni, maybe it was never boleya. Number four, who says that it's a klicheris? Who says our dishes are a klicheris? Not poshut our dishes are a klicheris. Maybe our dishes, after all, without paskining, but just bimtzius, are our dishes porous or not?
No.
No, we all know they're not porous, right? They're glazed beyond porous. How about porcelain? Is porcelain porous or not? Porcelain sinks in dishwashers. And toilets. Toilets are porcelain. Are they balea or not? No, you think they would make toilets out of something that was balea? In the old days, they would. It was a chamber pot made of keras, and that's why it was so moksamach was mias. But that's why... but, so he says that maybe it's not keras. After all, our kelim aren't mamish keras. There's the shilz yapet, and the suffix with the porcelain is keras. And we'll see in our chayim tafton aleph, there's a machlokas whether our dishes are considered keras or not. So maybe they're cheres, maybe they're not. Even if they are cheres, maybe they were boleya, maybe they weren't. Even if they were boleya, maybe after 24 hours they're mutter like Chachmei Venezia, maybe not. Even after 24 hours the Chachmei Venezia, maybe after 12 months it's mutter like the Chacham Tzvi. And then Reb Moshe threw in a third tzad, which is the Shita Ha'iter, the Sefer Ha'iter, they always call him the Bala Iter, which is Hagala Gimel Pa'amim. The Sefer Iter says, Hagola three times works for a Kli Charis. We know you can't cast for Kli Charis, that's once, but three times you can. Okay, this is a big Kiddush, this is based on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that, I think the case, but I might be subtly wrong. If you have a Kli that absorbs Trumas Chutz La'aretz, Kli Charis, you can cast for it three times, since it's only Nishat Rabbanan. And if it is Rabbanan, you can cast for Charis by doing Hagola three times. So the question is, how far to take that? Sefer Iter says, after 24 hours, only Nisud Rabbanan. Zerein ben yomot ben yomo. So therefore, you can kasher with Hagala three times, because only Nisud Rabbanan. Everyone else said, no, that only meant like an Isud Rabbanan that's not based on a Doraisa, like Truman Chutzlars, which is considered Eno Ekim and a Torah, like Bishol Akum. So this is the famous Machlokas, this Yerushalmi that says, you can kasher Kli Charis with Isud Rabbanan with Hagala three times. The famous machlokas, does that mean any Isser Rabbanan, even Eino Ben Yomo? That's the Iter, Shitas Yachid. Or all the other Rishonim, no, only an Isser Rabbanan that's a pure Rabbanan that has no basis in the Torah, like Bishol Akum. But not Eino Ben Yomo, that's based on Ben Yomo. Not chicken and milk, that's based on meat and milk. So that's a famous sheet of the Sefer Iter, that after 24 hours it goes down to the Rabbanan, you can do a Gola three times, which we know Paschal, like Rav Moshe put together these five Svaros plus Hefsid Meruba. And said you could be Mekel to Kasher Kli Charis after 12 months based on these five Svaros, Malkam Hefsin Meruba. And that's the minhag in America that if you inherit expensive dishes or you become Bal Tshuva or you're forced to buy a non-kasherable treif dishwasher, then after 12 months you can be Mekel. That's the minhag based on Moshe, but you can't buy used china on eBay and wait 12 months. Because this only makes a Hefsin Meruba. Don't buy it in the first place. You won't have a Hefsin Meruba.
Why did the dishwasher have a Hefsin Meruba?
Because it costs a lot of money.
But you didn't have to,
It costs a lot of money, and you paid for it. You had to pay for it. It was part of the package deal.
You don't have to wash the dishes.
You didn't really pay for it.
Yes, you did. It was part of the deal.
You didn't have to buy the house for less.
Okay, but still. But you still have Hefsin Meruba.
But you wash the dishes with a sponge.
Okay, that's how you think, where Moshe was nice. Okay, you'll do it. We've seen other cases.
I'm going to ask a similar question. If you,
meaning, You would have to buy another dishwasher if you wanted, if you didn't want to wash by hand. That would cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, but you don't need a dishwasher, and you also don't need fancy china.
Okay, so Hefsen Rube, it doesn't mean you need it, it means whether it's worth a lot of money. It's worth a lot of money.
Spend money on it.
No, okay, Hefsen Rube doesn't mean, Hefsen Rube is not the perspective of Bali Lusser. It doesn't mean you need it or not. It doesn't mean you need it a lot or not. It means it's worth a lot of money or not. It might be a luxury item. I have a Rolls Royce. If I lose it, then have some Aruba. Oh, I don't need a Rolls Royce. I could drive a Toyota just fine. But okay, but once I have a Rolls Royce and I'm a person who wants a Rolls Royce, that's have some Aruba. It costs a heck of a lot of money, I think. No? Toyotas also cost a lot of money. Okay, I could drive a Kia or a Citroen or a Peugeot. Excuse me. That's a minigun. America Revadu says the same thing in the Abia Omer. If you want to look it up, it's Chilek Zayin Simon Yud. And Ravadi says you don't even have to do Agola three times. There's enough thought in the Hakka without that. So, Rav Avadya says, I'm not even much real for you to do Agola three times. The other four thought in the Hakka are good enough.
One time?
No, one time is Nomal of Lamort. One time doesn't help.
If it's not cheres, then it's
right. That depends what it is. If it's not cheres, if it's not cheres and glass, then according to most Rishonim, one time doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Although according to some Rishonim, it does. I understand, but Lamaisa he doesn't say that. You could make the case for Lamaisa he doesn't say that.
One halfway to a year, though. That's
you have to wait a year. Everyone is makel is only makel after a year. No one's makel after 24 hours. Even Behefson Ruba, even with these other sudden lahakel. Again, every case is different. But as a general policy, no one's makel after 24 hours because the Chacham Tzvi is a much stronger tzad than the Chacham Menetzi. The Chacham Menetzi are for a very weak tzad. The Chacham Tzvi is a pretty strong tzad. He's pashup shat and shas. Except there's a shabrashba against him. And many achronim, but he's a strong tzad, so no one's makel after 24 hours. Again, I'm not talking about individual cases. Obviously, every case is different, but it's a general rule. Okay, one more point.
The postmen are makel and gluyos in general.
Of course, nowadays that there are some rabbanim who've come out saying nowadays you don't have gluyos at all in our kalim, so that's a different story. Then everything's mustard, and nothing's ever, no kli is ever treif.
They say that there are those who say that even about even subaychars, the are malamed, who's clearly not. I don't think.
I haven't asked him, but my intuition is that he would end up being makel with our kind of, alleged klicheres as well.
He specifies mateches.
He does specify mateches, but he doesn't specify as opposed to what. Clearly, no one can make a little real klicheres. I mean, our real klicheres is really absorbent. There's no two ways about it. Stone kalim are really absorbent. I have a pizza stone, it's really absorbent. There's no two ways about it. As ever, all stone is absorbent, right? That's why in Israel, when you have stone pavement, you have to be careful. If you spill oil while you're filling your Hanukkah lights on the stone pavement, it's there on B.S. Gold Tzedek. And there are ways to kasher your stone. But they cost like as much as a new house. What? Okay, whatever it is. I think for $10,000 you can get someone who really kosher your stones. Anyway, so but most of the kalim we use nowadays, the wood is also absorbent. I don't know, nowadays they treat the wood with all kinds of sealants, but lamaisa. Most of our kalim are not so absorbent, so I don't know if you're going to rely on those who say there's no blias bismanazeh. Then, even though no one said l'chachila, you could just mix treif and kosher and milk and meat. But those who say, those rabbanim in the past few years have come out and said that nowadays there's no glios, and therefore, b'di'eved, you could make it on everything, and that's a different ballgame, and everything's mutter. But the minhag olam is not like those poskim. Okay, their talmidim are very lucky.
How often... And the everyone else holds after 24 hours for most kalim that are in Oblio, so
I'm saying those postmen would say that you can even just keep using the pot once it got trafed up accidentally. Rav Novish from Aliyah Dumim says that if you trafe up your pot accidentally, you can keep using it. So that's a big cool. Okay. The one other thing I just want to mention briefly is Sifkat and Haim, the Pesukei Tshuva on the sheet, Lomer lo kham basheli, Ayin b'shefer levushei srad, shenistapik ima ovikha ma'osa me'ath b'kach b'shul Yisrael levado. If the guy on his own cooks an Ein b'yom kli for Jews, or he does it for everyone in the city, and the city has Jews and Goyim. Or, sorry, for Rofi Yisrael, most of the city is Jewish. What if he does it for Jews? He knows he has Jewish customers, and he cooks, and he's treif kelim for them. Or he does it for the whole city. Most of the city is Jewish. I mean, culturally, Michelle, you're Deshas, but you're sure if the Jew knows. Maybe in that case it's Usher, but the Yevet is a Knas. Remember, we discussed this issue once, not in the context of Ein Yom, but in the context of... of what's up? So Moshe points out here that we're not going to read the Moshe, you can read it at home, that this would be a big chumra. This means if you have a goyish company that cooks and trade kelim enim de yoman, then, and they have Jewish customers, they know they have Jewish customers, or most of the people around are Jewish, then you can't eat it as a knas, because since the goy violated zera enim ben yomo to ben yomo, the mezid, then there's a knas afterwards. Rav Moshe points out, this is a double chumrah. Number one, who says the knas applies to Ein Ben Yomo? Maybe the knas is only for Ein Valen or Shalach Hachila. Who says just because there's a knas by one Isser, there's a knas by all Isserin? I don't know, is it true? Anyone who violates any Isser in Shas, there's a knas you can't eat it? Or only where the Gemara says so? So Rav Moshe says, the big chiddush, it's found in the Rashba. He thinks most Rishonim disagree. So Moshe says, number one, it's a big chiddush. There's a knas for using an Ein Ben Yomo kli. Who says? Maybe there's no knas for this. There's not a knas for every Yisur in the Torah. Number two, he says, and this is the Rabosh we saw already, he passed like Maran Luplin, if a guy does it, there's no knas. There's no knas on a guy. There's only knas on a Jew. If the Jew would tell a guy to do it, there'd be a knas, but that's not the case here. Therefore, Rabosh says, really, we don't have to worry about this. And he says, number one, really, there's no knas by Ein Ben Yomo. And even if there would be a knas by Ein Ben Yomo, which he says I would be machmir for, just to be extra machmir, but there's no knas for a guy, and therefore he says this is no problem. And this was part of a broader shayla. You had some goyish factory that wanted a hechsher, and they had made treif, then they closed for the weekend. And then they start again, they make kosher, and they kashered in a questionable way. So Rav Moshe says, well, really, even if you don't kasher at all, it's okay, because once the guy makes it, there's no knas. And there's no issue for the guy. So he says, certainly you could be makel if you had a questionable kind of hechsher. Certainly you could be makel. And that was Rav Moshe's psak. He says, even though, remember, he says, it's not proper to give a hechsher on a guy. He clearly says, well, it's not proper to give a hechsher when they use treif kelim without kashering them. But since Medina, it's really mutter, therefore, even if you have some questions about whether the kashrut is effective or not, you can be mako. And that's the minhag in America, that when it's Ein Ben Yomo in a goyish factory, even if they have to use some kulas in kashering, they use some kulas in kashering. Why? Because even if they were wrong and it wasn't properly kashered, it's mutter anyway, because it's Ein Ben Yomo, and there's no kas in Ein Ben Yomo of a goy. Okay, against the Levushei Shrud. So Levushei Shrud makes two assumptions. One, that there is a knas in Eino Ben Yoma, which is not found anywhere in Shas or most Rishonim. Two, that there is a knas if a goy did it. Rav Moshe says, really, both these assumptions are wrong, and therefore, if a goy cooked in Treif Kalim, Stam Kalim, Ein Ben Yoma, even if he did it on purpose to sell it to Jews, you can still eat it, because there's no knas on a goy who cooked in... who's vatlos l'achila, and certainly not in a guy who cooked in Ein Ben Yomo kli. And even al tapasna shavashkacha, he says you can use kulas and kashering since really it's mutter anyway.
So halakha l'maisa, if you know a cooked food made by a non-Jewish company that like clearly all the ingredients are kosher, it's like l'achila to buy that food.
It's l'achila to buy that food. That's what we just learned in the Ramah. Of course, the problem is with modern day food production, it's hard to know sometimes about the ingredients with kosher because we don't leave, you know, someone asked, how come our great grandparents in the 40s, you know, they just read the ingredients and it looked kosher and we all look for an OU? Okay, so maybe we just have different standards, you know, and you can pick which direction is which.
but could be that it's actually we're both right. In the old days, before they had so much modern food chemistry, you were up to the ingredients, if it looked kosher, then it was okay. But nowadays, things are much more complicated because there's a global market and the scientists have told you that there are certain kind of basic things that you can substitute a million different ways for and make them out of a million different ways, and they outsource to China and whatever is like 10 cents cheaper a ton they buy. And in China, they can make the, since they, it's all like chemistry nowadays, they can make it out of anything. They can make the same exact raw taste ingredient out of pigs, out of pine cones, and out of, you know, out of grasshoppers, and out of apples. You know, because it's just, it's very chemistry nowadays. I don't fully understand it, but that's what I've been told by people in the industry. And therefore, it could be that our great-grandparents were right for just reading the ingredients, or our grandparents, and we're right for checking for Hechsher, because nowadays things are more complicated. It could be that if you have some basic knowledge of ingredients and you see that the ingredients are kosher, then even if it was made in a tray factory, that would not be a problem. And even if the guy made it knowing they're going to sell it to Jews, it's not a problem, like Ramosh says against Lovushi Srad. Even Lovushi Srad's an Efsher in Paskin. And then you could eat it. Or even if you have a local Goyish friend who makes you something with clearly kosher ingredients in his treif kitchen, says, here, I made you hard-boiled eggs. Then you can eat them, even though he made it for you, because we pass like Ramosha against the Levushi Srad.
What would be the issues? I know some people that try to keep kosher, but they'll eat at like vegan restaurants or...
So I'm not a bucky in vegan restaurants. The chop of vegan restaurants is that they don't have any animal products. So if they don't have any animal products, then it depends if they cook with wine or not, right? If they don't have any animal products and they don't cook with wine, then it's still bishul akum. But if they don't have any animal products and they don't cook with wine, and
sort of raw vegan restaurants.
And they don't. And it's a Jewish vegan restaurant, and the Jews cook. Or you only buy very, very bad food. That's not olal shulchan malachim. Then, or maybe all vegan dishes are not olal shulchan malachim. I don't know. Or I'm getting into political hot water, I think.
Depends who's in office.
They're right. It's really not so posh. Number one, the question is how vegan is the vegan? The kelim are not the problem. Stam kelim le'yoman inu. You're telling them to cook for you here. But when you go to a restaurant, you tell them to cook, right? You order a dish and they cook it. They don't cook it before you come. So then it would be a problem, right? You can't rely on stam kelim to tell them to cook. But it could be that in a vegan restaurant, maybe these kelim never cook treif because they only cook vegan things. Should you assume that the workers in the vegan restaurant also took it home and cooked ham in the kelim? They could have bought used kelim?
Industrial kelim that they buy new ovens, or they buy used ovens, they rent ovens, they don't...
Either way, are they trusted to be vegan? Like, why do you trust
them? That's the thing, is even vegans don't trust all other vegans about their veganness.
Maybe they have a good vegan hasher.
Right.
There are vegan hashers out there.
Right. Now
they're
probably telling us...
You have a huge amount of kelim also.
What? No, it's doing Omar and Lassa. They don't want to lose their clientele, right?
Whatever.
Anyway, so Lemaisa, the Kalim, the Kalim are more harmful than Ramosha's case because it's not a factor. You're telling them to cook a dish for you, unless you assume that these Kalim are only from the vegan restaurant. Certainly, as the Machaber ended, a Baal Nefesh should not assume the Kalim were only used for vegan, right? So certainly, out the Kalim, it's definitely not ideal. Because maybe the kelim are really treif from 6 months ago, and they were really used in a different restaurant once. So that's number one. Although, someone wanted to say, I'm not a Baal Nefesh, and min hastam, they buy new kelim when they open a restaurant, and even if they don't buy new kelim, after 12 months, I rely on the Chacham Tzvi. I don't know, Tzarech Iyun. But there are other problems with vegan restaurants, right? So, Bishul Akum being foremost among them, right? Let's assume that some dishes they make in... I mean, there are some delicious dishes that are vegan just because there are some dishes that that's the recipe for them, right? What?
French fries.
French fries, right. Yes, Lodon, but whatever. Meaning rice is olo shalom lachem, and it's vegan. Pasta is olo shalom lachem, and it's vegan. And it could be that if you use good fake meat and good fake cheese and stuff like that made out of soy, that's also olo shalom lachem. You know, maybe you can't tell the difference enough. So, and who knows, maybe a lot of vegans go to the Shulchan Aruch, not in the current administration in Astam, but maybe in the previous administrations, a lot of vegans went to the White House. I'm sure nowadays, if they caught a vegan in the White House, they would deport him. But the problem, Bishul Akum, is a serious problem in vegan restaurants. And Yayin Nesach, I don't know if they cook with wine in vegan restaurants. I know I'm not a bucky on vegan cooking. You know, last I checked, we usually only cook meat with wine. Like in standard cookbooks, you only add wine to meat. But what do I know? And maybe you could add it to fake meat. So Yayin Nesach would be a problem. Bishul Akum would be a problem. The kalim are certainly questionable at best.
Don't they add like cakes and stuff?
What?
Some cakes have like spices, like or sauces. That they would put on.
Maybe, okay, but I'm not a bucky in cooking. So really, this whole vegan restaurant thing is far from pashut. And tolaim also, of course, depending on, you know, on what vegan dishes you get. I'm sure you could get dishes without tolaim.
You get carrots.
No, I'm saying you could get, like, starchy dishes, right? You get rice with lentils, and I don't think there's any tolaim. You know, but anyway, certainly not pashut. Vegan restaurants. And I think if you wanted to give ashkocha to the vegan restaurant, it might be easy to give ashkocha to the vegan restaurant. But you'd, okay, so whatever, you'd make sure they got new kalim, or you'd capture the kalim once and make sure that no one took the kalim home. And you'd make sure that they don't have wine, or that, you know, they only get kosher wine. The tricky part, and the bugs, so you have to figure out, you know, what to do about that. The trickiest part is the Bishul Akum. Meaning you can't really give a hechsher to a vegan restaurant if the goyim are cooking, because some of the
foods... I think I know of like this vegan falafel store in New York City that is like cooked, like, I think it's like it's falafel Jewish, but like the hechsher isn't so maybe here there'd be more.
Man, I don't know if falafel's olo shulchan aruchim.
But anyways, it's like, it's Jew run. I don't know.
If so it's a, okay, if they're Jewish, then it might not be a problem, Bishul Akum.
It's Jewish, but I remember the hechsher not being.
Okay, yesh.
It's a very good one in San Antonio.
Yesh Lodom, okay. Yesh Lodom, and maybe it would be okay if it's Jewish that takes care of the Bishul Akum problem. You know, Me'ikar Din, you know, I don't know, what do you have that's buggy in falafel? Do you put lettuce in falafels?
Well, you put parsley, which is very buggy.
The chomas, but lemaisa, once you cook the chomas, lechor, it's mutter, and Me'ikar Din, there's a lot of room to remake it all because.
It's parsley, but it gets ground up, so.
Yeah, so okay. Anyway. You know, it could be that it would be okay, but you have to investigate each case separately. Okay, let's get back to our Shulchan Aruch.
But see, you wouldn't recommend eating in a vegan restaurant anyway.
I would certainly. All joking aside, meaning I'm sure there's a lot of good food in vegan. The truth is, if you're skilled enough, you can cook good vegan food. You can cook good anything if you're a really good cook. So it's not my cup of tea. You know, I respect people's dietary choices. And if I was, you know, going out with a friend or relative who's vegan, I would go to a vegan restaurant if it was kosher. But this thing of eating out in a vegan restaurant, so it's much better to eat out in a vegan restaurant than to eat out in a non-vegan restaurant. That's for sure. But it's not mutter.
It's definitely a thing. I've definitely heard of it.
Okay, it depends what circles you travel in. Look, I'd much rather people ate out in vegan restaurants than ate out in non-vegan restaurants.
I think I've also heard of a vegan restaurant that even cooking it is bad for the food, and they don't even cook anything.
Yeah, there's something in raw vegan restaurants.
Okay, that's already in the realm of... not for now. Okay. there are a lot of different diets out there. And at a certain point, some of them are really in the realm of fads. This is not the place to comment on raw vegans and paleo and vechuli, vechuli, vechuli. Now, I just hope that those who have a philosophical shita that you should eat the diet of cavemen philosophically understand that you shouldn't, in general, behave like cavemen. So that's an important thing to remember. Yesh Misha Omer. Okay, now that I've offended everyone. Yesh Misha Omer. Shem Samu Pilpum Dakta Sif Vav. Or at least all dietary choices. Yesh Misha Omer. Shem Samu Pilpum Mikdir Shal Isser Sheena Bas Yoma. Hakol Osser Dechurvi Mashvili Shvach. We've already seen this a million times, right? It's a Yesh Misha Omer. He doesn't put another Yesh Misha Omer, so we assume he's passing like this. That if you put pepper into a, if you cook pepper in a non-binyomo kli, then it's aser because the harifos takes away the heter of ena binyomo and turns the pagam into shvach and makes it aser. We, of course, paskin this way. The nosei kelim here point out that, the tazir points out, that it doesn't mean if you add a little pepper to your food, then there's aser, even if it's not like tada not binyomo. It means if it's mostly harif, and mostly is not by quantity, mostly is by taste. Right? If you put in 5% pepper, that's mostly harif. If you put in 5% onions, that's not mostly harif.
You mentioned Sephardim are not necessarily, they don't pass mostly necessarily.
No, I did not mention that.
You mean, Rabbi Eger said this was a case.
Rabbi Akiva Eger says over there that Sephardim are not necessarily machmir by cutting with a knife in Ben Yom, but he admits that by cooking, they are. He admits that, I thought Rabbi Akiva Eger there admitted that in this case, the Sephardim would be machmir. Because this is the only day I quoted in this. Okay, you have to look it up and tell me. Zion. Okay, Zion is complicated. K'der shivaluah mibas b'chol shenis bashla b'biyachad o b'zeh harzeh v'kodim sh'over layla achas hukum b'amayim chashim bas yoma achatishim e'is le'is me'sha shahukum b'amayim. So for this case, we need to, Zev, I'm going to need your help, sorry. We need some background. Okay. Here we have, let's have a case without Rabbeinu Tam, without Linus Leibah. We're going to have four different cases. What's unique about these cases? What's unique about this case is that there's 24 hours between the Isser and the Heter, but there is not 24 hours between each step. So, for example, let's have this case. First, you cook meat and milk, or milk and meat. Did he say which was which? Kedushi blue and Vasa B'chalosh, and Vasa B'yachad. Okay, meat and milk, great. You cook meat, milk, and water, or any sort of pyrrh, or neutral things. Water, and now I cook my dish. My dish is, let's call it, pasta. Great. Pasta. What's unique about this case is that each stage is less than 24 hours. That's a less sign. Less than 24 hours. But together, it's more than 24 hours. So in this case, from the basar b'chalav to the pasta was more than 24 hours. But each stage is less than 24 hours. So, what do we do? Do we say each stage is less than 24 hours, so it's time l'shvach? Or do we say, no, the basar b'chalav is pogim in the pasta? So this is the machlokes between the... this is the machlokes between the Sefer HaTruma and the Smak. So what do we say in this case? In this case, the Smak says mutter. Why? Because the basar b'chalav is no seitam lifgam to the pasta. But the Sefer HaTruma says it is aser. Why? Because the water is chanan and restarts the clock.
Once the water becomes Hanan, now that water is right, what it seems to be, there seems to be a machlokas here, like we've seen many times, how seriously to take Hanan. Right? Does Hanan mean the water becomes like a totally new Isser now for another 24 hours it's Tam L'Shvach? Or no, Hanan is just a continuation of the original Isser. So that seems to be a machlokas, it's safe for Truman. And Smach Vishach says, Shach says he agrees that water restarts the clock even if there's no Hanan. Even without Hanan. He says, you know what? I would say like the Sefer Truma, but Velomi Tami. Sefer Truma says, because we hold Hanan, the water restarts the clock. I would say even without Hanan. Why? Just coming out and being rehydrated restarts the clock, having nothing to do with Hanan. So you have three shittas here. The smack says the clock is ticking from the basar b'chalav to the pasta. The Sefer Truma says, no, since the water is Hanan, it restarts the clock. The shach says, even without Hanan, it restarts the clock. How do we paskin? So what does the Mechaber say here? Kedir that's blue and basar b'chalav, shenis basal v'yachar b'zer harzeh. The kodem sha'ar v'layla achas hukm b'mayim. It's called Basyoma Achetisha Me'es La'es Mishah Shehuchmo B'mayim. If it's been less than 24 hours since the water, it's called Tam L'Shvach. It's called Ben Yomo. We paskin like the Sefer Truma. The Achronim assume we don't pass like the Smach. We also don't pass like the Shach. Paschas, we pass like the Sefer Truma. Right? That's clear from the Ramah, etc. We pass like the Sefer Truma. Now, what makes it complicated is... if you add a Linas Laila. So, what about the following three cases? What about if you would have the same case? Meat, milk, water, pasta. Every step is less than 24 hours, and the total is more than 24 hours, right? But you would throw in the Linas Laila. What if you throw in the Linas Laila here? And of course, what are two other interesting cases worth discussing? Logically? What if there are two other slots for the Laila, right? What about meat, milk, water, pasta, meat, milk, water, pasta? What if you have the Laila here? Or what if you have the Laila here? Right? So, over here, what do you get? You get a Seiref Lahakel, right? There are two Tzadim Lahakel. What are the two Tzadim Lahakel? Now, exactly, there are two Tzadim Lahakel on the pasta. Aleph, the smach, right? According to the smach, we don't restart the clock. The time of the basar b'chalav is pagum by the time we get to the pasta. And B, Rabbeinu Tam. Linas Laila, according to Rabbeinu Tam, in this case, the water was never treif. In this case, the milk was never treif. And in this case, the pasta is never treif because it's Einu Ben Yomo. Right? There's a one-step Einu Ben Yomo. So you have two Tzadim L'Hakel. What do we do when we put together those two Tzadim L'Hakel? Fundamentally, that equals a Kula. Equals Mutter. Fundamentally. That fundamentally is Mutter. In which case does the Mechaber himself imply that it's Mutter? Which case does the Mechaber here imply that he talks about? Out of these three cases? Which of these three cases does the Mechaber imply that he's Mutter?
Since it was Kodim Shavar Laila.
Which, between what and what?
I think the first one.
Exactly. Here, the Mechaber says Mutter. He doesn't say, but there's such strong implications like saying, if before Laila Achas you cooked water, then you have to be Machmir. But clearly, if after Laila Achas you cooked water, you can make up. It's here for me in time on the smack. He doesn't silence. He doesn't say anything about these two cases. Adds the Ramah. Avolim Avra Laila Mutter. Okay. The Ramah just explicates what the Machaber strongly implied. V'cheinim Avra Laila in Bishol Basur L'chala V'afagav V'acher Huchma Mayim Miyad Nami Dina Hachi. And and in no, between Basur L'chalav. And he didn't say anything about that case. Where did the Ramah say something about this case? Darki Moshe or Torah Chatas? Was it also in the Darki? He quotes from the Torah Chatas. Is it also in the Darki Moshe here? What? You remember it was? Says the Darki Moshe. Yeah, there it is. In the Achar Bishol Hamayim Avra Alav Halayla Nami Havidina Hachi. Great. Says the Ramah in the Torah Chatas and the Darki Moshe. He says the Rol Mutter. Okay, and here the Shach comes and says, not so Pashut. Right? The Shach comes and starts complaining. Says the Shach, excuse me. Says the Shach, I admit in this case is mutter. I admit in this case is mutter. But this case is usher. That's why the Ramah didn't have the chutzpah to write it in the Shulchan Aruch, even though he wrote it in the Torah Chatas and the Darki Moshe, because he must have realized it was too radical and changed his mind. And in this case, he says, Ulai HaMechaber would usher. Maybe the Mechaber would usher. He's not convinced everyone agrees with the Ramah. He doesn't say the Ramah is wrong, but he's not convinced everyone would agree with the Ramah on this. That's what the Shach says. Halacha l'maisa, the later Achronim Paskin, in this case Mutter, after all, it's Mefurish Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch. And even though the Shach says the Mechaber might argue, but Shach doesn't explicitly say wrong, but in this case they paskin usher like the Shach. The tricky part is, what's the difference between these three cases, since they're all the exact same tutzdad in Lahakel, you might have noticed. Right? They're all the exact same tutzdad in Lahakel. They're both mutter if you hold like the smock, and they're both mutter if you hold like Rina Tam, and usher if you don't. So what's the difference? This gets very, very complex. If anyone really wants to go over it, Be'iyun, I actually have a little handout, which I'm not going to give out now because you don't have time to go through it properly, which brings down some of the shitas and later achronim as to what's so bad about...
In the third case is the only one where the water actually became treif.
The water was for sure treif, right? In the third case, the water was for sure treif. So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger says. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, you know what, in this third case, the water was for sure chanan. The water was for sure chanan. Once the water is chanan, it's like bechezkas iser for 24 hours. That's what he wants to say while you're passing against the third case. Not so pashut. Prima Gadim wants to say the third case is aser because there's all based on sveika. Maybe we hold like the spak, maybe we hold like the grain of tam. And it's not, in the first two cases, it's a good sveik. The two sveikos are like different sveikos. You can't have two sveikos that are the same. In the first case, if you hold like the grain of tam, the water is mutter. And if we hold like the smak, the water is usher, but the pasta is mutter. Second case, if we hold like the grain of tam, the milk's mutter. If we hold like the smak, the milk's usher, but the pasta is mutter. But in the third case, if you hold like the grain of tam, the water is usher, the pasta is mutter. If you hold like the smak, the water is usher, the pasta is mutter. You call that sveik steak and mishem echad. Two sveikos that are the same thing, and usher. Okay, this is a big mess. Anyone who wants should just take on your way out a sheet and go over it, and you can talk to me about figuring out the svaras, because it seems similar, and then we get into very complicated rules of achra of klali sveik sveika, or things very similar to klali sveik sveika. We will leave that for now.
I'm confused about something that Ben mentioned earlier with popcorn. Why are we assuming that parv or water, that it resets the clock continuously past the original 24 hours of the trick?
Meaning, according to the Sefer Truma,
He's talking about it happening once. How do we know it would happen many times?
A non
can
make something.
Well, it was Kalan the first time. If it works once, it should work twice or three times, right? Because it restarts the clock. Why can't you restart the clock more than once?
And is there Balua can make Kanan?
Yes. 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 Okay, one last case we have to deal with is the end of the Ramah. Right? One last case we have to deal with is the end of the Ramah. Says the end of the Ramah, V'hu adin b'chol yishar in l'fimah d'kaim lam b'chol yishar in chanan, v'ayin l'elsim tzadi beiz, v'akum hefzid yishla hatar v'chay gavna v'shari surin b'chol inyan rak shemi eis l'eis v'nam bishol ha'ishar. What does he mean? What's this case? What if you have treif, water, and pasta? Okay, this is less than 24 hours. This is less than 24 hours. But the total is more than 24 hours. So in this case, how many tzdadim lahakel do you have? What are the tzdadim lahakel on the pasta? Well, number one, who's mekel on pasta? Of course.
The smak.
And what's the other tzad l'hakel here?
Front.
Exactly. Now, for Sfardin, there's nothing to talk about. Because assuming we're, like, say, for Truman after the smak. So again, for Sfardin, Pashat Mutter, because the Nochanan B'Sheri Surin. Matter of fact, we've seen the smak locus before between the Shach and B'Shiosid. Shach says, even in this case, he would have said Nochanan B'Sheri Surin, because Basar B'Cholib into water is Shari Surin, but we know the B'Shiosid doesn't hold that way. So, but what about, you have Rabbeinu Ephraim, but here it's better than Rabbeinu Ephraim. Who else do you have? After all, this is not just Shari Surin. This is what kind of item in Shari Surin? It's not a chaticha, right? It's a bli balach. Remember, that was the Mordechai who was Mako on a Bedover Lach, and the Mordechai Blia. The lach, right? That he says only haticha. So you have Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Mordechai. So says the Ramah, what is that up to? What are these two kulas equal? These two kulas equal. And if you don't have linus laila, if you have linus laila, pasha, let's say you don't have linus laila, equals mutter b'makom hefsid. What kind of hefsid? All the nosi kanim say? How do you know he doesn't mean hefsid meruba?
Because he.
Because in Hefzid Meruba, we're so much on the Rabbeinu Ephraim Mordechai without another Tzad L'Hakel back in Sadi Beis. So it must be Hefzid Ktzas. Because even without the smock, we'd be so much on Hefzid Meruba. It must be Hefzid Ktzas. So we welcome Hefzid Ktzas. We can be Mekel in this case. You know, probably most cases are Hefzid Ktzas, but it all depends. Maybe pasta's not a Hefzid Ktzas. Not a pasta, Stuyot. You know, maybe it depends if you're cooking pasta or you're cooking meatballs.
Does Hefzid depend on your, like, it's not.
We assume Hefzid is relative.
Runs in Makolot now is annoying.
So we would assume that Hefzid would take into account the circumstances. you know, Lemaise, if otherwise I wouldn't have dinner for my kids. My kids would not want to go to sleep and they make trouble, etc. Then that would also be Hefzid. Or if people are coming over and I won't be able to feed them, no, that would also be Hefzid Ktzas. Okay, that is the end of Siman Kuf Gimel. Okay, I thought maybe we'd do Siman Kuf Daled also, but that will have to wait for. Is it Sunday today?
Yes.
Yes, so that will have to wait for Tuesday. And again, anyone who wants to take this nice Chazor sheet on Siv Zayin, please feel free if you go over it and you really get it down, then you'll really know the Sogya, and then we'll summarize this Sunday at Corona, and we can talk about it. We'll pick up with Siman Kuf Daled and Kuf Hey. Amir Tzashem on Tuesday.